Hello, and welcome to the 12th episode of Your Mom's Podcast, the only podcast that's worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Avis.
And today we are talking about Degrassi, Season 3, Episode 16, Take on Me. Roses are red. When parents don't pay attention, kids wind up in Saturday detention. So we are, I know normally we do a little episode summary, but today we have a letter we'd like to read in honor of this Breakfast Club-y episode. They lay it on so thick.
I love it, though. I love it so much.
Dear Mr. Radich, we accept the fact that we had to sacrifice a whole Saturday for whatever it is we did wrong, but we think you're crazy to make us write an essay telling you who we think we are. You see us as you want to see us, in the simplest terms and the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a baby incel.
And a kid whose parents don't love him.
An alt-girl desperate for someone who understands her.
An accessory for Paige Michaelchuk.
And a kid from the wrong side of the tracks. Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Breakfast Club, eh?
I love this episode for no more than the fact that it's literally a Breakfast Club homage.
It is exactly that. They do not try to hide it at all. They're just like, we're just gonna lay this on real thick. It's fine.
Especially from the top, having Ellie like walk into the school, because like if you've seen The Breakfast Club, they have different, I think it's just the Bender character walk into the school, and then I think there's like one and everybody else pulls up in their car, but he's the one like that walks with their parents. So it's like they're like okay,
what kind of bummed me out, and not that like these would have been good pairings, but for as heavy as they lay it on that it's the Breakfast Club, that they then have the jock and the cheerleader and the bad weird girl get together instead of staying true to form.
They would have had, so it would have been Hazel and Sean. And then it would have been, Jimmy and Ellie, even though like, Jimmy and Ellie. Hazel and Sean is so weird to think about, though.
So weird.
But I think that's the thing that I love the most about this episode, because as much as it is an homage to The Breakfast Club, I think that they're saying off the top and at the bottom, too, like, we are not The Breakfast Club. We don't have those dynamics because these characters are bound by their social groups, and they will never interact outside of these social groups. Whereas to, because I personally think this is all one plot. I don't think that there's an A plot or a B plot.
No,
I think,
there's not.
Right. So to jump to the very end of the episode, when they are back in school on Monday, all of these characters, you know, you have Jimmy and Hazel arm in arm with, saying, you know, how you doing to Toby, and then greeting Sean as well. Whereas that's a big plot point. In The Breakfast Club, where they say like, what happens Monday?
Right, like, you're not gonna invite Brian to the parties, you're not gonna
like it's definitely like,
although like, I mean, they, I think, you know, I think part of that though, like the implication by like the end of The Breakfast Club is that they've transcended social cliques.
It is, and I think that
the, you know, and we don't get to see Monday morning.
We do not get to see Monday morning. I always took that like that little end with Bender and like the earring and all and Claire and just like, play, like, I thought of that as like their final adieu, like they'll never talk again.
I don't know. I'm just saying, you but don't
we,
like...
we don't have to interpret too much Breakfast Club lore, but I always took it as like, okay, she's parting with you in some way because she is bound like to be super popular and she'll never get anybody to accept That's him. Fair. Like my mom did, you know, talk to me about social dynamics in the 80s and how she was able to be friends with multiple people, but I think that that's just where we live. Like she was also 5 years older than these characters before she entered high school, or sorry, 5 years younger before she entered high school, because she was not in high school till 88. So these characters are older than her. The social norms of like staying within your like High School Musical, stick to the status quo. No. It's different. Like
guys,
it,
I like to beg.
What? Get out.
And someday, I hope to make a perfect creme brulee.
Like, man, you're stinking up the place. Yeah, I feel like it's definitely a thing that they wanted to, like, say, like, we don't have cliques here at Degrassi. We're able to, these are just people, and we all maneuver, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I get it. And I get why they were so stark against what the Breakfast Club, not even was trying to say, but what it could happen. Like, they could go on, like, Monday could happen and the status quo could be intact, or these characters could decide we had a meaningful experience and we are going to acknowledge that these people might not be within our same friend group, but they are still a part of that experience.
Right.
It's definitely up in the air for me. I was always like, come Monday, who knows? Come Monday, this shit is right. Dicey. But I love at the end how Jimmy and Hazel are together. That I feel like that's my biggest takeaway from this. And I think originally I thought it was Ellie and Sean. But I think growing up, I realized I just love Hazel and Jimmy so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And I want better for them.
I like to think that, like, Hazel and Jimmy were pretty great for the most part. We just didn't get to see a lot of it.
We just did. And they're playful, light, cute. One thing I like, if we want to have a focus of this episode, it is basically Ellie and Sean. Ellie is playing the character of the basket case. She calls herself a couple of things, but just the weirdo girl, and she's keeping her bag close to her. There's a moment where
fucking annoying in this episode, honestly. When she's like, I'm Harriet seeing, the yeah. spying.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bad. This is not a good Ellie episode. I think it's an Ellie focused episode, but it's not good.
One of these days, you're going to come to terms with the fact that there are no good Ellie episodes.
There are good, like, it's coming. Name one. I don't have to right now.
Because you can't. You don't have to right now because you can't. Because Ellie is the fucking worst. I'm trying to show her more grace. Ellie's great,
I was going to say, right, like, you are trying to show her more grace. I'm trying to trash her. But, like, I'm pretty sure that there's more. I really hope that there is. I remember that there's more.
Freaked out yet?
Oh my god. Oh. Here's my thought with that. Okay, the scene where Ellie shares her sandwich with Sean. Mm-hmm. My thought is that Sean is happy to finally have a girl who eats a regular sandwich.
Right.
He's happy. He's like, this is just turkey and lettuce.
Isn't Ellie vegetarian too, though?
That would track, but I don't think it's been said. That looks like chunky ass, no, like Marco turkey or tuna.
It might be egg salad. I think it's egg salad.
The eggplant parmesan.
Parmesan.
Yes, he's like the perfect vegetarian dish. She says, now this is the perfect vegetarian dish.
I don't know if she's vegetarian.
I think so, but the sandwich looks like chunky, like turkey.
I think it's egg
or,
salad.
Is it,
I think it's
okay,
egg salad.
Is it egg salad?
I think
that would be a bomb sandwich, though. Okay, but that's still a very typical sandwich.
I was like 28 before I had like an egg salad sandwich for the first time.
Really?
It slaps.
Does it, did it hit like, did it wash over you like a beautiful wave? Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. like an egg salad sandwich is not like texturally white
bread. Ugh. Which is, I think, the is kind of the key. Like, you don't want egg salad on like a bougie bread.
I want something that like kind of forms a little bit of a, like a pocket for it. Like if I'm holding it, it kind of mushes mm-hmm. together a little bit.
And yeah,
it
gets, yeah. You want like a soft white bread. You like, yes. Like, I would like a step above Wonder Bread, but frankly, I consider like store brand a step above Wonder Bread.
Mm. Controversial.
Wonder you know, bread, I don't want you. Your like artisanal bullshit. I say as someone who loves to bake bread.
Baked bread is like divine. However, I think that that's just such a specific talent, and I don't know if.
I love it.
The amount of times that I've had baked bread up, like it's orgasmic. I need to learn how to do.
Does our hotel have a kitchen?
I believe so. Yeah.
Room has a kitchen, I'll make some bread.
That is a thing you should stand by, because that would be awesome. Because I had fresh bread in Germany every day, and I was spoiled. But that's because Germans really take their bread seriously. No, if that's an egg salad sandwich, that looks like a bomb-ass egg salad sandwich. And mm-hmm. Sean fucked it up. Okay?
Yeah, he did.
Sean was tearing it up.
There's no tempeh.
There's no tempeh, alfalfa, or peanut sauce in this shit. He was tearing that shit up.
Egg sauce.
Like, he was fucking it up. A little veg in there.
Can we talk about how, like, deviled eggs and egg salad and eggs Benedict are all eggs just
Benedict.
Eggs in egg sauce? Yes. Girl, I make the best hollandaise.
Do you?
Caroline,
you need to fucking cook for me, because I've had such a hard time making, like a lick your fingers hollandaise, and I need that. Mm. Oh my gosh.
No, we can make that work.
Cool.
We're gonna be, if we have a kitchen, yeah.
If you make me eggs Benedict, I might have to tell my girlfriend that you're invited into our relationship. Whenever you want to cook me eggs Benedict, you're invited. It's okay.
You're like, look, that is Caroline, the weight of my heart. Caroline is my girlfriend at breakfast.
At breakfast. Because she knows, but first of all, she knows that's the weight of my heart. Like, some people, you make them a good steak. You know, you make steak and potatoes dinner. For me, it's like, make me a good ass breakfast. Like, make me a breakfast I can't make myself, because I can do an omelet. I can make myself some good home fries and potatoes and stuff like that. But like, make me a good ass like eggs Benedict, mm-hmm. and I will be.
Yeah, yours. I'll make you eggs Benny, baby.
Oh my god, that's like my favorite breakfast. That's my favorite. Well,
and
breakfast.
I love like hollandaise is something I'm really, really good at, and like I. It's something that people are so impressed by.
It's
really not that hard. It's literally hot mayonnaise.
I know.
Like, it is literally hot mayonnaise.
I know. And it's right. Like, I've tried. Like, I have tried to make my own hollandaise. I've tried to put, like, massive amounts of butter in there. And I've made something. It's fine. It's just not.
No, the tricky thing is that there is such a thing as, like, too much butter. And the problem is once you hit the threshold, like.
Yeah.
Is a skill. I'll show you some stuff.
I was going to say, like, because one thing is I can't poach them right. I know that there's multiple methods. I've tried them. They don't poach nicely for me. So poach those eggs. Get me, like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Oh,
ooh,
wow.
Ooh. Maybe I'll make mini blueberry goat cheese pies for the drive.
I'm going to gain, like, weight on this trip if you do that. Because goat cheese is, like, my one vice. Goat cheese is so good.
It is so good. And my pies are so fucking good.
I've seen pictures of your pies.
And candied orange peel on top.
Mm. Ooh. See, this is what happens when, like, food is, like, one of your love languages. I think that this episode, I don't think it was my first episode, but I always like to, like, it's canon for me that this was the first episode I watched, because it's so significant to me culturally.
And it's funny because it's really like it's a weak episode.
I was gonna say that.
I don't have a lot of notes. I don't have a lot of fashion.
Me either. Boo, me either. Shots fired was even like I have shots fired. I have like 15 bullet points. If that, I'm not counting these bullet points.
Right.
Like
I did. Okay. One of my notes, and I think it's important, is, and I'm going to read it exactly how I wrote it. I know it's not grammatically correct, but that was on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much eyebrows in this room.
Yeah.
Because for real, you've got Jimmy, you've got Sean, you've got Toby, mm-hmm. who we have not mentioned in the Great
and Degrassi the eyebrows
wars.
Yeah.
Of he's 2001.
He's serving. But he's got stark eyebrows.
Some eyebrows. Shit. Toby's got strong eyebrow game, honestly.
Like, I love that they, first of all, I mean, obviously, if you know the makeup of the original Breakfast Club, you've got the jock, you've got the princess, you've got the basket case, 80s terminology, not mine. You've got the geek and
the brain.
And so Toby falls under the brain. It couldn't have been JT because JT is friends with this group for the most part. So it has to be Toby. And of course we've got it like of course we've got to have Toby just being maximum geek here. But no, it's definitely a, like, these people are definitely being pigeonholed into these archetypes for this episode. Mm-hmm.
I will, okay, looking at my notes now, because, like, I haven't even been looking at my notes.
Yeah.
One thing that I did love mm-hmm. was, so Hazel, we find out, gets detention because she was caught looking at
porn. Surfing porn. My note, wait, can I say my note is that, like, this is the time before a firewall in a school when mm-hmm. you could actually surf porn and not well, just and, get
but she wasn't even surfing it. She was she in her email. She was curious.
But and my school started, in my senior year, they started blocking personal emails.
Mm.
In my senior year, they were like, fuck your emails. We don't want anything to do with them. Those people, when people would send you random porn.
But I love, like, it's a very, like, it's a very throwaway conversation, and like she's like yeah, she's embarrassed to tell them, but then once she's told them, she's like, I got a link in my email, I was curious.
But wait, can you like can we talk about Sean's face in that moment? He's like, wait, what you do, like what even say, what about Paige, Paige, like ring your bell or something like that. Like Paige can't make me do anything. Okay, well, what happened? I saw some porn on my because it was in my email. I was curious. He's like, oh, okay, like,
right.
Like, but I'm sorry, I was fucking with you.
I do love that they like kind of very nonchalantly like normalize the fact that kids at that age are going to be curious and not yes. like, hey kids, go look at porn, but like that
right.
it's not weird that you're curious about this
exactly
without making a big deal out of it, you know, like I really sometimes Degrassi handles things well.
They do. I think they definitely they're trying to be like, looking at porn when you're curious is normal. I
she's
will
just
say
lucky that Mr. Radich caught her and she got Saturday detention, because if Kate and Jeff had caught her,
they would have made her watch it with them and talk about it in detail. I can't stand these people.
It's so weird. It's such a weird choice. I'm going to die mad about it. We're going to be in like season 18 still talking about this.
No, actually, like, it, there's a problem. But can we talk about how the fact that the, oh, I got some spam in my email, I was curious, is an ADR? I always have to point out when they put it in the DM, because they're not looking at Andrea so she never said it on camera. So that's an ADR when they added that in there, because they felt like it wasn't clear enough when she's like, I got some spam in my email. But they laugh at that. They laugh at her just saying, I got some spam in my email.
Yeah.
Interesting. And then they tack on, I was curious. And they all like it, it's definitely an ADR. But I mean a good ADR, because the curious part does enhance it a little bit. But like the fact that like Sean is hounding her this, like the first half of this episode is like, I wonder why your girlfriend's in here. What page pull your puppet strings is what he says. What page mm-hmm. pull your puppet strings, make you dance. It's like Sean is supposed
please
to
don't
be
ever do whatever that was again in my cousin.
Wait a minute. Stop okay. It. So
there's an this... adult.
I need an adult. I'm not. I'm scared. I need. But
oh my
there's
god. Oh my god. Never mind. Sorry. I was gonna jump back to Superstore when they're talking about the tornado.
Oh my gosh.
And Cheyenne's like, tell an adult you trust. No, Cheyenne, that's only if the tornado's more.
Tell an adult you trust. No, I am only reacting to this comment that I made in the Degrassi Facebook group, where one of our modmins posted just curious ... rat emoji. And obviously the rat emoji is a sign for the Twilight mm-hmm. shit posting group on Facebook. So I commented that I'm a ratty. And then I also posted this like a gif that's of Edward walking down the hallway, and somebody put it like a wave gif filter on it, and so he's like loosey goosey arms, and I keep getting notifications that people like the comments, so I'm so sorry, but that's
we're
my
gonna
brain
have to cut so fucking much,
but that's my brain. we might keep it in depending on the content length.
Yeah, we're gonna see.
We're going to see. I think we're interesting. We had a 40-minute pre-show, so we kind of got to...
This is the episode where our viewership just tanks.
Plummets. Our stock plummeted.
No, but it's hard. This, like, I love this episode. I think this is an iconic episode. I think it is such a weak episode.
It's... Okay, it is the season 3 equivalent of the Relax episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they knew that they had to set some things up, but they also knew that this is an in-between episode. We just had Accidents Will Happen, parts right. 1 and 2. Heavy hitters, right. Boom, boom.
It's definitely just more palatable than Relax.
Take a break. It's 100% more palatable, but they knew that they had to get some sort of, like, gimmick in there. And I don't know who doesn't love The Breakfast Club as just, not even, if you don't even love the movie, as a... situational sort of like to put your characters in, I think it's a really good, like, you right. have Ellie and Sean who probably wouldn't have interacted if they were not in detention together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and not even that they're supremely different, just because they don't travel in the same social circles. And when would they're not in the same grade, when would they have interacted?
Right.
You know?
I had totally forgotten why Ellie was there.
Me too. Wait,
which in case anybody else has, it was because of being late for class.
Yeah, I have that in my shots fired, but like Jimmy's response. But I'm like her. I have a conjecture to point out. Did Ellie just get detention so that she could, because she knew that Sean got detention, so that she could potentially
find
out.
Well, that was,
no, that
was my thought, too, was because in The Breakfast Club, Ally Sheedy's character mm-hmm. didn't get detention.
Yeah, she just...
She just had nothing else
she
to do.
She had nothing else better to do. Wait, like, I don't... I had
no,
nothing
and I
else
had forgotten,
better to do.
I had forgotten why Ellie got detention.
Yeah.
And so I was just
it's
like,
it's a similar
oh.
reason. Like, I didn't feel... Like, I skipped class. What? I didn't feel like mm-hmm. going. Like... That's not a real reason. Like, she totally got detention on purpose. If not, just showed up.
Right.
And Radich was just, because, like, honestly, they don't mention
her.
Because
Caitlin Ryan uncensored or whatever it is, unscripted. Right. Caitlin so Ryan, rogue. Unscripted, really cares about the theft at Degrassi.
They really do. And she's been given little to no instructions on how to complete her assignments. So she's just going fucking rogue. But like, I don't think that Radich would even, he doesn't have a roster. He just knows that he's told certain people. He knows that he told Toby and Jimmy and Sean to be there. And Hazel, probably. But then, like, Ellie can just show the fuck up. Maybe that's why they only show her. Because she just shows up. She's just like, I'm going to detention to get the scoop on the thefts of Degrassi. Because she's only ever...
Agent Ellie is on the case.
And, like, girl, like, you are not... Like, just sit down. I have no... Like now, that I feel like it's I feel like it's kind of canon now that she is looking for the story aggressively enough to sentence herself to a 9 to 2 p.m. detention, a 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. detention.
I mean, it's on a Saturday. Probably better. Like, what are her other options? Hang out with her drunk ass mom.
Sucks.
Hang out with Ashley.
Even, I'm not going to say even worse. That's rude.
Hang out with Marco, who right now, all he can talk about is Dylan.
It's Dylan, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Her options are kind of, like, she had a way better time at fucking detention than she would have ever had. And left to her own devices. But, like, she spearheads detention. So they get busted by Radich because they're playing like fucking
hockey.
Tray hockey, and Hazel decides to dump an entire like wicker basket full of plastic utensils on the pair. And I'm like, that is really hard to clean up, and you're just gonna clean them up and let people eat off of dirty floor utensils? Ew. I'm calling flag on the play. That's a hygiene issue, Hazel. I'm not okay with it.
Whatever. But the Degrassi calf is full of earwigs. A little bit of floor dirt is like the least of your concern.
That's fair. But Radich busts in. He's like, okay, all of you got to be separated now. Like, you can't be in the same room. They were in the cafeteria. He's like, fuck you guys. You're going to different rooms. But because Ellie needs to finish out her story, she breaks everybody else out. That's my theory. Ellie's, and she has to be driving this episode because she's the first one we see. I think that tracks. That's not a theory I had before watching it this time, honestly.
Yeah. No, I think that's interesting, and I think that you're onto something. Another thing that I thought was interesting was, like, they kind of, like, it's not like they had, like, Hazel and Ellie like sniping at each other or anything like that, but like they kind of try and give the impression that like they're not friends, and like, okay, they're not friends, but they're not friends.
They're not friends
because like you've got two circles of the grade eight girls right now, and it's Terry and Hazel and Paige, and it's Ashley and Ellie. Yeah. But they, like...
They interact sometimes. They join forces, just like in the Accidents Will Happen episode. We just saw it, the part two, where Paige oversees some bullshit and is looking at Ellie like comrade in arms. Like, they sometimes play the same team when they want to play the same team. And it definitely is a little bit weird that they're supposed to be so... on opposite sides, because we just know that that's not true. They will work together when it's beneficial for both of them to work together. They don't hate each other.
Right.
There's like not the vitriol, and there's not really the separation to warrant like, okay, she's the princess, because like, but like they are trying to play up this like Breakfast Club narrative. Sean is leaning very hard into the John Bender role, and and I mean, he tries, but, you know, I can't say that I 100% believe. Like, he's not hitting as hard as, I don't know.
Well, no.
Maybe that, like, I feel like Judd Nelson just has this whole vibe.
Judd Nelson has this whole vibe.
That,
and... Daniel Clark, Bender as a whole, but in particular that scene.
I always found so much, what about you, Dad? Yeah,
no, Dad. What about you?
No, Dad. Yeah, that whole scene. First of all, what? Oh, it was American Horror Story where the where the daughter of Carrie Fisher. Yes, the daughter of Carrie Fisher was like, Billy Lord was like, because she's a ghost from the 80s in the 2020s. And she's like, did Judd Nelson win an Oscar? And the person's like, I don't think so.
Like, I saw a really bad movie with Judd Nelson recently.
Recently? Oh, Judd Nelson. Yeah.
Oh. It was a remake of The Most Dangerous Game, called The Most Dangerous Game. I knew it was going to be bad watching it, but CT from The Challenge was like the lead in it, and I wasn't going to pass that up.
You're like, I've got to stick this through.
I paid to rent it on Amazon.
Oh, wow,
I honey. Did, and was it good? No, it was like $3. Shut up.
That's fine. It was as long as you didn't spend like $9.99 on it.
Like, I would have felt ripped off if I had spent $5 on it. I did not feel ripped off for $3.
That's fine. I support you.
And like, it was fine. That's ish.
Guys, literally, this episode is such my favorite, but it's scant.
It's very iconic. It lays some groundwork. It's cute.
It's Hazel scant. And Jimmy. Okay, can we talk about?
It's what they call a bottle episode.
Yes. And I think that with like our segments, we typically have episodes that happen over several days. So we get more fashion, more, you know, development. We at least get
an A plot and a B plot.
We at least get an A plot. This is the first time since we've started this show where we have an encapsulated episode and we have things simultaneously occurring, and there's no A plot or B plot.
I mean, we get Monday morning, but
there's really no notable difference between like their outfit. They don't make any effort to differentiate us between the detention and Monday morning. They look very similar.
Ellie's outfit is starkly different because she's wearing that shirt. No, that shirt was white, I think.
I was going to say, is Ellie wearing a different shirt?
I mean, she is, but it's like a starkly different shirt.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was not in my fashion, but to me, it just feels like, okay, this is one of the episodes where you are not going to have instances of development because these people it's all happening within the same day.
Right. You can only grow so much in a day.
You can only grow so much in a day. And even at the end, when Ellie is like, I have an instant camera in here for posterity and everything, it's like they are lamenting that this is definitely not something that might continue. Like, this is a
right.
message in a, like, sort of like a capture it in a bottle sort of thing, and it floats away. Okay, so I do see Ellie's ending outfit. We will get to that in fashion. It is a little different, but I think that I hesitated to say that this kiss, so we one of my favorite things about this episode is that Hazel and Jimmy get together. I think that they were kind of teed up to get together. I'm excited, and I really do think that the way they get together is probably one of the best in this era of like starting their relationship. I think that the blocking was really good of how Jimmy reaches around and he's behind her to kind of give her like sort of a like soft Spider-Man kiss, like that sort of energy, like you're upside down but like you're behind from behind. I think it's a really cute kiss that stands out to me.
No, but it is. It's very smooth. It's very cute. I like Jimmy and Hazel.
I do.
Like, I'm into it.
I like their relationship. I think they're sweet. I think they've kind of been set up. So I like
yeah,
them.
No, they've been kind of laying the groundwork for a while, like.
Right. I think the fact that they're finally together is like, okay. Especially like multiple points through the episode, they are interacting in a way that's like they're flirty. You know, it tracks for me that they are getting together at the end of the episode and that Jimmy is feeling this way. And I also think that as we talked about earlier in this, the show, our show, that Paige and Jimmy make a lot of sense because they are, you know, the jock to the cheerleader. Mm-hmm. Similarly, Hazel and Jimmy make sense because they are the jock to the cheerleader. Hey, you know, Jimmy has always wanted that. You can tell with Ashley.
Right.
He has always wanted a comparable, someone who understands popularity. And mm-hmm. Ashley used to be someone who understood popularity, but now she's not. And it seems to be Jimmy's priority to get somebody who understands being popular. And I mean, it goes within the narratives of this episode that,
and
like,
it's weird that we don't get to see more of them as like a power couple.
I would because love that, though. Because they are way more of
a power couple than Spinner and
Spinner
Paige.
And Paige.
Because
they
while
are.
Paige is iconic, and while I love Spin.
I love Spin, too, but they're not on
but
the same
not,
level.
It's not.
But, like, Spin started out as the water boy.
Right.
And
the
he
team
progressed.
Manager and, like, yeah.
Yes, and he moved up in the ranks, and that's a story in itself. However, we do have... we've always had the discourse on the show that like they just did not make sense. What makes sense is the dude who has always been smart, not sorry, the dude who has always been popular, like Jimmy, having the girl who has always been popular, like Paige.
Right.
Like Hazel has like, never had to work up. She has been a second fiddle to Paige, but mm-hmm. she has always been Paige's right hand friend and just as socially lucrative to attain. As Paige.
Mm-hmm. No, and it is, it's definitely interesting. Thanks for casual racism.
Yeah. You know, we couldn't escape the episode without that, y'all. You know.
Right. It was the times, and we just didn't have, like, not white people in the writers' rooms, and, like, yeah. Not that there aren't, like, plenty of complexities, like, I don't want to just be, but, like, to a degree, like, yes, there are certainly stories that can be told about, like, blackness, and that mm-hmm. should be told, but, mm-hmm. like, just write your black characters like you're writing your white characters. What is
just
this,
write
like,
them
don't
like
know,
their
like,
characters,
they're just teenagers.
Yeah.
Like,
literally, I think that that's the hardest, as a writer, right, who grew up reading all of the classics with white people, the amount of times that white people's skin is described in fiction that they are the protagonist of is scant. Typically, you just assume that the protagonist is white because right. white is the default. So anytime I would write fiction and I would have a non-white protagonist, I would have to kind of emphasize that they're black.
Right.
And that sucks. Mm-hmm. It should be, this is a character just like your white character. They may happen to be black, but I don't need to emphasize that. I don't need to say, oh, they're mahogany skin or, oh, they're, you know, like,
oh, come on,
like
come
they're
on.
Chestnut skin. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, you do an edible one.
You do an edible one. You know, it's
her rich
it's,
chocolate caramel skin.
It's so hard bad. To write about black people because the default is white. Mm-hmm. And obviously Hazel and Jimmy fall into that because we are not given, I mean, obviously Hazel more than Jimmy. Jimmy is given a lot more fleshing out as a character, but he is right. still the black kid who got shot. Sorry guys if you know
the black
several,
basketball star.
The black basketball star. Sorry if you are not you know, aware of what happens a couple of next
right.
season.
You know, it's
but
no,
that's
it's...
what happens. It's like this is, and that's why when Liberty goes to college and she describes what happens to her with her white boyfriend, people assume that she had gang affiliate, that she was right. involved in some gang shit because she's black. It's a thing, and it definitely sucks that Hazel and Jimmy are regulated to being the black characters because I really do think that they have more to offer and they are right. really a sweet couple. And I think they make way more sense than a lot of the other couples on this show, especially in that last scene where they're like, you know, Jimmy's got his arm on Hazel's shoulder. Yeah, they're laughing together.
They go together well. They've got really good chemistry.
Their chemistry is awesome. Like, even when they're like going to break Sean out and Jimmy says his little shit about like, yeah, like you don't do group activities, whatever. Like, they're laughing together. Like, nobody else mm-hmm. is really laughing like that. It's just like they're in on the secret.
I like Hazel and Jimmy.
I like Hazel and Jimmy. And I really wish that we got more of them, like, their little plots. Like, I want to see what fucking Jimmy gets Hazel for their anniversary. That would be a great plot. Like, what does Jimmy get Hazel? Like, does he
not
have
a gross clay heart.
And not a gross clay heart or a fucking locker. He gets her some, like, actual monetary...
I don't know. My headcanon is that they have a really solid, deep relationship, and we just unfortunately don't get to see it.
We don't get it.
We wouldn't have, like, learned the lessons we needed to learn from that, apparently.
Instead, let's
romanticize Craig and Manny.
We didn't need wholesome content. You know,
we just needed. That's all we came for Degrassi for.
It goes there. I would have loved
to Degrassi, bitch.
Welcome to Degrassi, bitch. No, I would have loved a wholesome time between fucking Jimmy and Hazel. Would have been nice. Give me a mini with Jimmy and Hazel, like planning out their futures, or even like raising their kids. Like, give me something. I don't know, but we were robbed.
Man, that could have been the reboot.
I would have loved that, though. Like, I would watch the shit out of that.
They found their way back together.
And Jimmy can walk canonically again. So there's that, like, reunion.
Canonically?
Yes, yeah, somehow stem cell, I don't know, something. But it was brought up in a mini. Yes, he can now walk canonically.
Minis aren't canonical, though.
Are minis not canonical?
Minis aren't canonical.
I did know that. Okay, so according to a mini. He walks, but that's okay. That's not canonical.
I should hope that they don't go that route.
They do. At a reunion, they have him come in and be like, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah.
No,
this
that's
treatment worked.
Video.
No.
Okay, but that's a mini.
That's a mini.
It's non-canonical.
It's,
so I'm saying
right.
If they had done a reboot.
If they had done a reboot and they actually took the time to flesh out the plot, I'm here for it. However, at this time, Drake doing any sort of reboot.
Right. It would never
happen. I'm just not into it.
Yeah.
No.
Well, and he's busy and
he's
upset.
He's upset. He's got other fucking shit to do. But, I mean, what else in this episode? I mean, obviously, Sean and fucking
Snake
LA get together.
He finished his round of chemo.
He's coming back.
He doesn't want to die for like the first Saturday.
So he helps the kids get out of detention scot-free in a sense. But yeah, no, I mean, I think that's probably one Snake and Hazel and Jimmy. I mean, you could argue that Sean and Ellie also round out this episode, but like, I just really think that.
It's a very weak episode. It's a fun episode. I love this episode.
I love it. And the part where, you know, they have to convince Sean to come out of his room and then he skips forward because they have to do the hallway shots of them dancing and running mm-hmm. and, you know, they have to do the Breakfast Club thing. So he skips forward with his hands in his pocket. He looks like he's about to, like, accidentally trip himself and fall backward the way that he, like, spiritly kicks forward.
It's fine. I love him.
And yeah, I mean, it's this episode, as much as I love The Breakfast Club, it makes me want to watch The Breakfast Club. Because
that
The Breakfast Club
too.
It makes
was,
me want to just
like,
be like
watch The Breakfast Club.
I want to watch The Breakfast Club and then immediately after I would like to watch Uncle Buck and I would like no questions about that. Double feature. Thank you. Because I cry at the end of I cry multiple times during The Breakfast Club, mostly towards the end, obviously. Like I can't with the, like I pulled the string lamp wouldn't come on. It should come on. Like Like the amount of times I cry during the Breakfast Club, and then you turn on Uncle Buck, and then I've got to laugh a little bit at John Candy. Reminding
me how much I love Emilio Estevez.
Too. I love Emilio. First of all, Emilio Estevez that is scene great. When he's
talking about taping that kid's ass cheeks together is like a really good power. I love Emilio Estevez. Like,
I think I had this thing. I was obsessed with Molly Ringwald. Like, I was obsessed with Molly Ringwald to the point where I watched For Keeps so many times. And I think it's because I secretly wanted to be in a lesbian relationship with Molly Ringwald and, like, she have my baby.
Okay.
And I realized this as a fully grown adult, but as like a teenager, when my mom introduced me to the movie For Keeps, I was just like, this is all you've got to do. Exit yourself, stage left. you've educated me far enough on the Molly Ringwald. She was like, this is towards the end of Molly Ringwald being like really like popular, blah, blah. She does a movie after this, but like, this is a good movie, like towards the end of her like being a teenage starlet or whatever. And I was just like, okay, love that movie. But I also love She's Having a Baby, and it was 9 months. Whatever. I think I love movies like that with pregnancy, so I was just like, oh, I love that. But I had a very solid Molly Ringwald moment. So when she was not like, but I can still watch St. Elmo's Fire. It's still a strong film for me. Brat Pack.
At straws. I feel like we've exhausted this episode.
I think we have to. I think that this, as much as we were excited about this episode, very little happens. And the things that did happen, we talked about. So,
no, I know. I was talking to Forrest about it before we were recording after I had fallen. And I was like, I don't know what to do because I really want to take a muscle relaxer, but I'm already sleepy. I won't make it till 8. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, maybe the conversation will be stimulating and then you can take a muscle relaxer after. And I was like, this is such a weak episode, baby.
It's not a stimulating episode, love. If only you knew. I think we've taken the boat as far down the river as we can take it. And yeah,
I would agree. So before we hop into segments,
yeah,
we want to take a minute and just kind of talk about what all we've got going on. I know we've got like a little blurb from Charlie at the end that tells you where all you can follow us and support us and stuff, but we don't really talk about it a lot. And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that, like, we are so blown away by the fact that so many people listen to us for free. Right. Like, we made 13 Spotify Wrapped top podcasts last year.
That's 12 more.
Well, and only one of those accounts was mine. So we made 12 Spotify Wrapped.
Yeah.
It's 12 more. And that's huge. That's huge. None of them were our moms.
Groundbreaking.
But we do have a Patreon. And the Patreon.
Got a lot of good stuff on there.
If you're following us on the socials, you've seen, like, we do a pre-show. Which is just us shooting the shit. Sometimes it's a little housekeeping. Sometimes it's, you know, it's whatever.
Get to know us better. We talk more about our personal shit than we would talk about on our main feed. It's a chance to get us to know us better.
We do an early and unedited release of the episodes.
And I will say the past episode, the last episode that we released was the pepperoni episode. Was so much content was cut from that.
Last Friday of the month we do film club, where we watch a movie with a Degrassi alum. So far we've done Christmas at Maple Creek starring Jake Epstein. It was bad. We did She's Too bad. Young, wherein
starring Marion
McDonald gets a social disease in her throat.
Also it's bad, but in a different way. Yes,
we watched Selling Innocence, which has Mike LaBelle with the worst dreads.
Horrible wig.
It's so bad.
So horrible.
Coming up next month, we're going to be watching, or I guess it's this month at this point that you're listening
March.
To it.
Yeah, it's March.
But we're going to be watching a movie called Zombie Shark,
which I'm really excited with Cassie Steele.
I'm so hyped. And we also have we're working on. We haven't released it yet, but it's going to be coming
very soon.
A weekly like mini-sode called Degrassi Diaries, where it's essentially like fanfic diary entries from the point of view of like peripheral characters.
Indeed.
Really excited characters about that. We wanted to have that sooner, but we really want to do it well. And we also, you know, any cast and crew interviews that we do, they're going to be on the Patreon
to Patreon.
They're on the main feed. You get shout outs, double entry in any like giveaways or like trivia opportunities. If you're in our top tier, we provided you can meet the audio requirements, which really aren't that much. We invite you on the show for an episode. That's how Alika was on the You Got the Look episode. You also get discounts in our merch shop, depending on the tier, which is a good transition to talk about our merch shop. So our Patreon is patreon.com/yourmomspadcast.
Your Mom's Padcast, yep.
Our merch shop is your-moms-padcast-shop.fourthwall.com. And we've got a lot of great stuff. We're getting new stuff, you know, kind of as it comes to us. We're on Facebook, and we also have a Facebook group that we're trying to grow. And by and large, giveaway opportunities are going to be exclusive to group members. They're posted there first, and they're exclusive to group members. And so, speaking of giveaways, which usually are exclusive to group members.
Right.
We actually have a really fun one going on right now. So
yes,
y'all have probably seen this summer in Tennessee, there is a fan fest, the Smoky Mountain Fan Fest.
Yes.
And Shane Kipple,
Melissa McIntyre,
and
Pat.
I'm so bad at Italian names.
I'm Pat
Mastroianni.
Pat M. We love you.
Mastroianni. Joey Jeremiah.
Mastriani. So I think you probably did a really good job with that.
We're so bad at pronouncing things. It cracked
me
up.
We really are. We actually
really are.
Okay, but yes.
but so.
And also kind of like, and also Silent Bob.
Yeah, Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes are both going to be there.
Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith are going to be there as well.
And so are your favorite pastas, Avis and Caroline. We've gotten a table. We're really hyped to hopefully connect with fans, get some new fans, have like a team building road trippy
just
goodness.
Like, right. Just like, oh, if you guys don't know, we haven't met each other in person yet.
We are
internet friends. So this is going to be like, prepare for all of
this is
going to
make or break the
meeting
podcast,
each other
really.
Content. Literally, if the vibes aren't the same, you guys might just like see like the podcast just doesn't.
You know, I don't want to brag or anything, but we're going to hang out with Shane Kipple.
We're gonna kind of like hang out with our like fucking childhood, like.
But so we're going to this con. If you're going, we really hope you'll stop by our booth, check us out, come say hey,
or like email us. That would be really cool. Like, reach out. Like, you could also message us on Facebook. You can message us on TikTok.
Actually, please
on
don't
Instagram.
Message us on Facebook because I can't check them from my phone. It's a total pain in the ass. Please message us.
Please message us on
TikTok
or send us a good old fashioned email.
Yourmomspadcast@gmail. But
yes,
so we are going to this
reach out.
We'd
love
to see y'all there.
We would love to engage with you guys. Please reach out.
We are trying to raise money for the con.
We do.
It's expensive.
In this economy,
In this economy, and so we are actually doing a giveaway right now, where if you make a donation of $10 or more. Just to our PayPal, which is paypal.me/padcast. If you do that before May 1st, and you send us an email with your PayPal name and your mailing address, or wherever you'd like us to send it, we're going to send you a free Harrah's Tour poster.
Yes, indeed.
Which is a spinner
poster.
They're beautiful.
They're beautiful, guys. You've seen them online. Have them in your home.
And we're getting two of those bad boys. Two of those bad boys are en route right now. To Toronto.
Ooh.
To be signed
by
friend of the pad, Shane Kipple, aka Spinner Mason. And two lucky donors are going to get signed posters.
With beautiful metallic. Metallic pens. Yes, no.
You can find more information about this. We've got a post on the Facebook and we've got a post on the Instagram about it. I think we've got a post mm-hmm. on the TikTok about it too.
I think we have a post. Yeah. We're like, literally, this is so exciting for us to have this opportunity. Like, he, like I said, best friend of the pad. On
yeah, like, no, he yeah, is. We, he is the best friend of the pad.
At this point, like,
and actually, I think that covers all of our bases, right? We've got Patreon. We've got some content already. We've got more mm-hmm. coming up that we're working on. We've got this convention.
We've got the convention. Honestly, y'all, like, the convention is in August. Be on the lookout if you're not able to be physically there for just our live updates. I think we'll try to just share as much as we can, but we're so excited to be going and meeting Shane in person and
connecting with fans and people who and love Grassy.
Like the amount of comments that we've got is, like, for me, amazing to see people like responding so positively to our show and watching along with us, and just like to have an impact on people's watches of a 20-year-old show, like mm-hmm. I'm constantly in awe. So thank you so much, guys.
And that's the other thing too, is like feedback, like on streaming platforms, ratings and reviews really go a long way. So to subscriptions and that kind of
shit, bring us up higher. But also, actually,
like, yeah, they algorithm. Do. But also, like, comment on our posts, engage in the Facebook group. Like, we want to hear, like, your thoughts. We want to know what you like. We want to know what you don't like. Like,
yes.
You know, every fucking week I'm like, these poems are stupid and everybody hates them and I'm not doing them anymore. Every week.
Caroline is very hard on herself and she's wrong, because I tell her every week they're beautiful and she turns it out and I don't know how. Literally, like, I frequent Apple Podcasts. I would love if I see more than, you know, like, I would love if there's reviews on there, because it really just makes us feel more accessible. But it makes us feel good. It makes us feel, like, okay. Or it makes us feel bad. Or it makes us feel bad. Like, I think the time you take to write a review, whatever the review is, like, I don't want to advertise anybody talking shit about us, but that's really great if you take the time to talk shit about us, because at least you took the time.
Right.
Okay. Right. Love and hate are very closely, you know, intermingled. But
they're like two brothers who go on a date. They are.
Because the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference.
Why did you just let a musical theater reference just, like, float right by
just
you?
Just flow right by me. Go ahead.
No, I said, did you ever get into Avenue Q? Did you have that cringy ass phase?
First love of and all, hate
are like two brothers who go on a date. Who go on what?
I completely let it flow by me. Yeah. No. I think that overall, this episode, as excited as we were about it, it's one of those episodes that's really fun to watch, but is not necessarily stimulating to talk about, because all of the containment is in the visuals. And it's not necessarily any substance.
Right.
Like, what do we really get? Toby's fucking, he says the word, like, I'm thinking agoraphobia, but that's obviously not,
is it acrophobia?
Yeah. Acrophobia. Yes. Fear of heights. So Toby has acrophobia, and that is why he's kind of, like, regulated to be by himself when the other four kids are coupling up and everything. Like, they discover an elevator. Raditz does a really fucking intense aerobic ball workout.
That was one of my notes too, was that this Swiss ball workout looks fucking intense.
Intense. The way he's sweating, when I tell you, I am in the gym. I go to the gym. I see what people do. No one really fucks around with those Swiss balls because they're hard fucking core. Mm-hmm. When you fuck around with a Swiss ball, it's maybe to do, like, a hip bridge, like, okay, you're not doing what
no,
was,
he's
Raditz,
like, lying
was
on
doing
his back, lifting it with his legs,
lifting it with his leg. Like, Raditz was in it to win he it was, with that fucking was. Swiss ball, and Hazel's coming along and judging. Hazel, that will be you when you are on the cusp of 30, fucking around with that Swiss ball, and it's kicking your ass, okay? Right. Because it's not like when workouts start, like, when I'm relating more to Raditz, literally. My fucking note is, okay, but that exercise ball workout really kicks that ass.
Yeah.
Like, because that's all I was thinking. Is he sweating? He's puffing. Because it actually is a real fucking workout.
It's got a lot of great moments. It just doesn't have a lot of substance. And it is
have a lot of substance.
And no. I think, you know, we've already moved past it into shameless self-promotion.
Yeah, let's slide on into our segments. I think that, first of all, this is probably my favorite music corner thus far. Mm-hmm. Because do you want to know, I was just at the bowling alley last Saturday with my mom and her boyfriend, the mayor. And I was, because it was like a bowling fundraiser. So mm-hmm. we bought a ticket for dinner and then bowling. And the DJ like was kicking it all. Like a good first family. My mom said she gets called first lady and she gets creeped out because they're not married yet. But like, low-key, they're going to be married soon. The way that like the DJ was pumped, like I doubt it was like a Pandora playlist or anything, because it was a really good playlist. But Take On Me came on. I'm like, okay, get in my little bowling game. I love this song. Take On Me, it has no relevance to the plot. But this is plot is applesauce. So
because of this episode, I constantly, like, in my head will like think that Take On Me is the Breakfast Club song.
Yes.
But it's not.
But no, it's not.
That's Don't You Forget About Me, another great song.
Don't you forget about me. Don't you forget about me. I do the little fist pump the judge also does at the end. But there's also an episode of Victorious, which I also, unfortunately, because I knew there was a Breakfast Club episode of Victorious, I'm like, I gotta watch this. And at the end of that episode, she has a red balloon and she pumps her fist up and then her balloon flies away and she's like, oh no, my balloon. And she's like jumping up and that's the freeze frame instead of the fist. I'm like, I'm done with this fucking show. No, actually, like the music is not what it should, but it's similarly 80s.
Yeah.
I don't think the song fits. It doesn't fit, but it's lyrically.
Lyrically, I guess it's
sparse enough that it could fit, I guess.
Well, and like it's kind of
Take On Me, but like, take me on, I'll be gone for a moment or two.
In a day or two.
Yeah.
But like, okay, it's a love song. It's asking like a partner to like give you a chance. But I think like the whole like, I know you have your Take On Me, but like, mm-hmm. actually Take Me On, like, I don't know, I think it fits. I think it's one of the more fitting.
I mean, but okay, if we want to compare it to the A plot they want to happen that I don't want them to want to happen with Ellie and Sean, then yes, Take On Me, Take Me On, those the lyrics specifically there 100% fit.
Well, but it's not just Sean and Ellie. It's the group.
It's not
as
just
a whole.
Sean and Ellie.
It's the group as a whole. Like, save for Spinner and Jimmy, have kind of preconceived notions of who everybody is.
Right. And I think it's one of those. It's funny because this is probably one of the only songs that I have such a heavy relationship with. Maybe aside from the Phil Collins song Against All Odds earlier in this season, but I will rock to the shit out of this song. And I think that I feel like I maybe walked into this episode feeling like, okay, the discussion is the back of my hand. I know all these lyrics. They're not necessarily complimentary to the plot, but like if I look at what the two verses are, no, three verses, sorry. We're talking away. I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is another day to find you shying away. I'll be coming for your love. Okay. So needless to say, I'm odds and ends, but I'm stumbling away, slowly learning that life is okay. Say after me, it's no better to be safe than sorry. Like it's definitely applies. I think because there's a vagueness to this song that mm-hmm. maybe doesn't exist in other songs that we've covered. Like they're a little bit more pointed. And this is like that like bopping 80s song where even though there's a ballad-esque characterization to it. It's more or less like a dancing sort of, like, you're not supposed to listen too much to the words.
I love how dramatic 80s music is, like, as a whole. Like, there are exceptions.
I love me some synth. I love, like, me the build-up.
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Caroline.
Hungry Like the Wolf.
Caroline, we have to have, first, like, of all, there it was a theme in my with Cord. We have to have Cord on this fucking show, where Cord would just randomly start Total Eclipse of the Heart, and everybody would have to, doesn't matter what the fuck you're doing, you have to sing, have to join in. But it's like such a fucking beautiful, and oh wait, I can't make you love me if you don't. Which is completely bad to sing in, like, a group setting, but it's also great.
I can't make you love me.
Yeah. The drama, y'all.
Fucking Degrassi, I love it. And 80s music and everything. Fuck, and everything. I'm so, like,
I have such an, right, like, this is such, I have such an appreciation for 80s media, but this episode, content-wise, is not it, y'all. And we want to keep talking about all the 80s media that inspired this fucking episode, but it's just not there. The substance is not there. And we can pontificate, but it's just really not there. So,
this is the second time tonight you've used that word. One of them was off mic, but is that pontificate? Did you get a word of the day calendar or something?
No, but I think I hit it. If there was a word of the day calendar, pontificate's on there. Because I feel like, what's the word, filibuster, when you're talking about what people do in fucking Senate, when they they can just talk out their ass, filibuster. And I want, like, so much want to use that in a fucking conversation. It does not flow as well as it pontificate. Doesn't. It doesn't. But yeah, I think that's good. Like, I feel like our music corner is exhausted.
Let's slide on over before we end on the fashion corner. Slide on over to the bad part of town where the shots are fired. Or you actually, feel like, you know what? Fashion corner's weak this week. So
I was going to say, because it's a solid, like, we've got one day outfits. Yeah, I only have three.
I have two, and they're both Radish.
Okay. One of mine is Radish. So go ahead.
I love his, like, nod to Principal Vernon and the Breakfast Club, like, with the slightly bigger lapels. Love it. And then also the Swiss Ball episode or outfit is just hilarious. Like, I don't know. It's not a fashion do for sure, but I think it's funny.
I have Ellie's opening outfit. I actually think it's, I mean, it's not.
It's one of her cuter outfits. It's generic.
Yes. Yes. It's one of her cuter outfits to me. I don't think that it's, like, I actually think that bringing up her second outfit, the red, I think that that's probably way more what I like in terms of her dressing. But she, in this outfit in detention, she takes off her little leather coat that she has in the beginning, and her tank top has pink trim, and I think it's a cute
Cute,
she's got a lot, she's got a lot of studs on for me. But that's her
she
thing.
Does have a lot of, like, why are we wearing bondage gear to school, Ellie?
Right. We had 11k. Yeah, no, I have a problem with that, but I also really just like the tank top and the trim. But the kilt skirt I could probably do without. Probably.
It's fine.
And then I have Hazel's
problem with is the fucking pants under it.
I have a problem with the pants under it that I don't realize are pants until she does that, until they do that little, the conga line thing where they're like, all,
those are not tights. Those are not tights.
Those are, definitely concerned about that. I don't know.
What other fashion do you have?
So I just had Hazel's, her outfit. During detention, I really like her button up I think that it's similar to outfits Paige has worn, like the gauzy sort of button up with the bell arms. It's very trendy, but I think that it looks like something Hazel would wear, and she wears it very well during the episode. The little shoes that she kicks, like the I think they're like platform shoes, and she kicks them off when they're playing hockey. I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a short person. I never really cared for like trying to pump yourself up, because I'm always like, I didn't like that trend because I always accidentally twisted my ankle or did right. Like, it made me feel like this is what I have to do to be like beautiful. You guys are gonna maybe twist my ankle every other week, but because I can tell Andrea Lewis is just small. Like similar to Lauren Collins. I don't think Lauren Collins is that tall either, but you can tell she's a shorty by the way they have her in little platform, like chunky wedges. But the entire outfit is very cute on her. And I noticed it throughout the episode.
Plot twist, nobody in the Degrassi cast is shorter than 5'9", but Miriam McDonald is 8'2". And so they just all look itty bitty. All right, so shall we go to where the shots are fired?
Yes, please. Pew, pew,
pew, pew, pew, pew, pew, pew. Shots fired.
I have three.
I also have three. I would be not that surprised if we had the same three.
Are all your three having to do with Sean and Jimmy?
No, mine are actually Hazel. Shots fired at Hazel, two shots fired at Hazel, and one shot fired at Ellie.
All right. Oh, wow, great. Go ahead.
Okay, so my first is when Hazel's complaining about being in detention, and Sean is like, what, does Paige need you to lick her boots before she goes out?
Okay, that is one of mine.
Okay. Here's one of yours.
Okay. I really want to do my second one. All right, I'll do my second one.
Your second one.
Sean says, I'm not a joiner. I don't do group activities. And Jimmy says, okay, tell that to Jay next time he too decides to steal something. That was a good one. Because Hazel laughs too.
My next one, I'm now kicking myself because I didn't write down who said it, because I was like, I'll remember it. But I think it's Jimmy. Ellie says why she got detention.
Yes. Yes.
And he's like, says, wow, that's a great story, Ellie.
That's a great story, Ellie. It is Jimmy. That's so good. I knew it. I knew that was my second one. And I was like, but that, I thought about it. And the one I said I liked way more.
What's your third?
That's it. Okay. I said my, yeah.
So my last one is when Hazel's like, you want to know why I got detention? And I believe it's Toby says, your shoes didn't match your purse.
Yes.
First
of all, these really suck towards Hazel. They really suck.
They really do. God, I hurt so bad. Listeners, I fell on ice today. Don't get old if you're going to fall on things ever. Ever in your life.
That'd be not fun.
It's so bad. The like hurt ass urge to have done this all like lying on my belly. But then I'm like, that's just gonna hurt my back. So I have two shining stars for this episode.
Okay.
And they are Toby and Jimmy. And that is because, one, we will give Toby a nod for the fact that, or not Toby, Jimmy, a nod for the fact that he was real smooth with Hazel up on that roof.
Yes.
But it was actually the fact that he risked it all to get Sean back into his back detention room.
No, actually.
And then it was Sean in particular.
It was Sean in particular, yes. Because he didn't even want to get Sean out of the, like, he's like, do we really need Sean? But he came through.
Right.
And did not let Sean be the last one, be the only one standing in the hallway, unable to get into his designated spot. Mm-hmm. Jimmy is absolutely a shining star for that. And I will say Toby is too, because he took the fall.
He did. Yeah.
If it was not him, right. If it was not him that took that fall, everybody would have been implicated. He was the only one that really could have done that without any blowback, I think.
Yeah.
I don't even think Ellie could have pulled that off because she has attitude.
Yeah.
And she was the other person that was like least offensive or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know. But yeah, no.
And I agree really with that. I have super bummers this episode.
No one really bummed me out. Even like, even though Radich bummed me out initially, he leveled out when he realized, okay, I need to let these kids go. When he listened to Snake.
Right.
Snake is a shining star for me as well, because Snake talked about, you know, like, these kids don't deserve to be in detention. These are good kids. Let them go. It is a Saturday. I don't feel like dying. They shouldn't feel like dying. You know, like, Snake is a shining star for me, even though he comes in for 2 seconds and exits. But no one really bummed me out. I feel like it was just a a better episode for people to kind of stand out in stark contrast to like the mundane nature of this episode,
right.
in terms of plot. Like, you know, you don't have people standing out against the plot as much as you maybe normally would have. So no one's really bumming me out. Yeah. I think the only person would have been Radich, and he doesn't end up fully bumming me out.
And I think it's a really easy question this week, but, Does it go there?
No. Not at all.
No, it goes to detention.
It goes straight to detention. And then it comes back on Monday morning and they're friends. No, yeah, this does not go there. But once again, this is a foundational episode, and we are going to get so much that goes there off of this episode.
Right. It's foundational, and it's also like, it's also just like, it's a bottle episode. Sometimes you do that.
It's a bottle episode. We're having fun in a sense
all the time.
Yeah. Like, I enjoy a pop culture reference, you know, in another pop culture reference. So
right.
I am not mad at this episode. It's way more fun to watch than it is to talk about.
Yeah, there's just not enough substance to build a whole podcast episode on.
I will say the one part of this episode I'm sad we didn't get, because this is directly from its source material, is the montage, the dancing montage,
mm-hmm.
where we have, you know, we have the different we have the two girls doing little scootin' boot, we have the guys doing the little arms.
Well, but they'd have to get high in Radich's office first.
They would have to get high in Radich's office, and that. The closest they do is play hockey with trash. Lunch trays and trash.
Yeah.
So I guess that evens shit out, but I would have loved a scootin' bootin' dance scene enhanced by weed, but
mm-hmm.
Degrassi doesn't like weed, and we don't digress because it doesn't get better. But yeah. I think that's about it. I feel like this, I really love this episode, but just like, watch it, guys. Don't expect too much critical conjecture.
Don't write a dissertation on it or anything.
You will be struggling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to lead us on out, Avis?
Yeah. So, thanks for listening to Your Mom's Podcast. Next week, we'll be saying our final farewell to Tear Bear in Don't Dream It's Over. Oh, and we get some homophobia too, so that'll be fun.
This episode of Your Mom's Podcast was made possible in part by Switzerland, John Hughes, and support from listeners like you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon, and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-podcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. PAHDCAST. Thank you.
And now we would like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers. Octavia Faith,
June Bard,
Margot Mancini, and a special thanks to our Titty Snake producer, Alika Fenderson.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Ew, I hate how I said thank you. Thank you.